CliffCentral.com. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab, and thank you for tuning in. My name is Liz Ogumba Regisford, your host, and on today's show, we're going to be taking it easy, talking the morning after the fashion competition before. I know some of you are thinking, what morning after is this? Now, obviously, we know there's so many competitions that run across the globe when it comes to fashion design competitions. And sometimes, you know, you'd even lose track. I can't even tell you how many I've heard of, how many I know, but they consistently and constantly continue to run. And I'm sure that they also continue to benefit the applicants or the winners. And sometimes I say Africa is, it's a love-hate relationship. I mean, I'm an African child in love with Africa, but in Africa, I call it the Wild West, where you also have these competitions running. And sometimes you might just be told you will be going home with some gold, but you end up going home with sand. It happens. But you know, you've got to be strong if you live in the continent, and I'm sure all of you would agree with that. Now, some of the competitions, obviously, that you may have heard of, obviously there's so many I can't mention all, but I just want to mention some of what's really going on, especially in the continent. You've got the SA Fashion Week, Lufthansa, which obviously is just fresh in my mind because SA Fashion Week just went down. You've got PPC, Imaginarium, which is a fashion category lifestyle design competition, are also open to students and young fashion designers, as well as tailors, stylists that have not really established themselves. Then you got Design Indaba Emerging Designers Competition, which is a program presented by Design Indaba and the Department of Arts and Culture, which provides support, education, and mentoring for South Africa's future designers. Then you have Nigeria, next up, Designao, and that is also a designers competition aimed at promoting African-inspired designs from Nigeria and fostering the promotion and development of aspiring Nigerian designers on the world stage. Another one that's quite interesting that we also ran into was the African Fashion Star. And in this one, the contestants in the competition being held in partnership with Fralane and the African Luxury Group and Edun compete for the chance to win a paid internship with the fashion brand Edun based in New York City. They take classes at a world-famous fashion school in New York City as well. Then you got Regional Competition. It's a fusion designed to give young Nigerians between the age of 18 and 30 with unique creative abilities a platform to then showcase their original works for a chance to most likely win amazing prizes and opportunities. This year, they're looking for exceptional individuals with a requisite skill to make the L'Original team. Then you've got Aberry Design Experience, which is also an annual contest, accessory capsule collections, traditional crafts. I could go on and on, but I think I'm going to take a breather there because I do have an interesting topic, and obviously we're going to be unplugging and unwinding with two very cool guests who will also be able to give us a lot of insight around the morning after the night before the competition. Anyway, before I introduce our special guest today, we are going to be getting our dose of makeup and glam and beauty tips through the Glam Up with Morag Stein, who will be glamming up the show later. We're going to also be joined by our New York contributor, Edgy Benson, who will also be joining in with his echoes from New York later on the show. And then just a quick reminder to you who are tuned in probably for the first time, my favorite segment at the end of the show is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? Now, that is what I call my red glass of wine. Not just mine, I share it with everyone in studio. Don't be jealous. And feel free to share with us your who's and your why's at the end of the show. That is really our unwinding segment. It's very easy. It's very fun. And then you get to kind of pick these brains that have been so deep in other conversations and kind of get to know what they actually would love, who they would love to dress and why. Keep your tweets coming. We're at Fashion Lab AF. Share with us some of your fashion competitions or design competitions, not just in Africa, but across the world. I want to move straight into our special guest today without taking any more time. Now, we are joined by a South African designer who won the 10th annual Independent Handbag Designer Awards in the U.S. this year, walking away with one of the show's coveted awards. He won the All About the Logo by Guess Handbags category and will now be collaborating with the Guess. I'm sure already collaborating with the Guess Handbag design team using his winning bag as an inspiration. What's even more commendable is obviously 40 finalists were in the running, selected from more than 1,500 submissions sent to five continent and 28 countries. Allow me to introduce to you guys South African designer Adrian Furstenberg to the Fashion Lab today. Welcome.
Hello, Liz. Thank you so much for having me.
Was that a beautiful intro or what?
Oh, no, that was incredible. I must say, like, I mean, I'm going to keep you with me all the time, like, if I want to introduce myself. Liz, over to you. Thanks.
You know, better what we could do because of technology. I'll just do a voice note and then you keep me in your pocket when they say, well, so could you just introduce yourself and then you just play the voice note.
So it's publicist in a pocket, just like that.
Yes. Okay, no, that's Liz bringing your intro.
Okay, no, wonderful.
Now, on the flip side, because I gave you all that love, I need you to give us love by just sharing who you're wearing and what's inspiring the look today.
My look today, okay, so I'm literally, I got this shirt on sale at H&M Fifth Avenue, New York.
Uh-huh.
Just because it's, I mean, I like plain colors, like, I mean, because working in fashion, like, I mean, you get ordained with all of these things, like, I mean, what to wear, what not to wear, where to go, what you do, like, I mean, it's got to work for during the day, then it's got to work for night, so I kind of stick to a little bit of texture, a little bit of color, and, well, today's just, like, black and white and gray, and then my yellow colored bag, so...
Just a pop of color.
That's
very
what we
nice.
Need, yeah.
I love. It's a very easy, nice day in Johannesburg for those who are not here with us. And now I want to also obviously introduce our other guest on the show. From young label heart and heritage, she uses fashion to reflect the confidence, independence, and style she wants her customers to feel when wearing her garments. Recently the winner of SA Fashion Week Lufthansa First Best Collections, she treasures the beauty of traditional process of crafting a garment from concept. Her pieces are defined by a unique contemporary edge while still maintaining a wearable appeal. Allow me to welcome to the show Leslie Witta. Leslie, welcome.
Hi. You're really good at introducing people.
Thank you. Are you gonna do you require a voice note too?
No, you can also stay though. I'll keep my pocket as well.
Leslie, welcome to the show. And I enjoyed your collection as well from the SA Fashion Week that just went through the autumn winter. You're wearing a beautiful piece. I don't want to talk about it. You're going to talk about it. So in return, could you just share what you're wearing
Thank
and what's
you.
Inspiring?
So this is a dress I actually finished making yesterday. Now I've been itching to wear it. So here we go. And I always believe in wearing what you make, so I'm wearing what I've made, and I love it so much, I think I'm going to put it into production and have it in my shop soon. So,
okay, and yeah. People might just be inspired. We're going to send a tweet on that as well.
I did post it on Instagram.
She's like, sorry, you're late. Okay, well, we'll retweet it and repost it. So now I want to just go straight into the matters of at hand right now as we talk about the morning after. I mean, there's always so many expectations. People get into these fashion competitions, and some people think the world will change, and for some of them, maybe the world will change. I don't know. Some of them, the world has changed, but I want to speak to both of you here. So I want to start with you, Adrian. Mm-hmm. Just take us through the process a bit from why or what inspired you to get into this competition and not the SA Fashion Week or I've spoken about so many other fashion competitions happening across the globe or just the continent as well. What is it that got you into just deciding, I'm going to wake up, my name's Adrian, and I'm getting into this competition and running with it? Let's talk about that.
Well, you know what, Liz? Okay, I just wish that I woke up one morning and said I want to get into this Handbag Designer Awards. Like, it actually started 10 years ago when I finished my final year at the Tech in Pretoria, where I did textile design. And that's where I made my first handbag. I always wanted to be in the fashion industry, but chose textiles and went into accessories from there. So 3 years ago, I did some research online, checking what was happening, where I can do these things, where I cannot do these things. Unfortunately, there aren't any accessory-focused competitions in South Africa or in Africa, for that matter. So, and I came across the Handbag Designer Awards held in New York City every year. So I applied 3 years ago, didn't get in. Applied last year, I didn't get in. And I thought, okay, cool, I'm going to give myself one more chance. And, like, I mean, I applied for three different categories, including guests, and which was a sketch-based one. And I got in. Like, I mean, that literally everything changed for me on that when I got the call from Emily. And and things just turned around. Yeah.
Now I want to talk about, before I come to Leslie, I want to talk about, gosh, when you when you get into something like this, because one of the things I agree and I believe in is that our attitudes and perceptions of how we view ourselves play a big role in how we decide to do things and where we are in life today. You enter in this competition three times. Jeez, like, what were you doing? I mean, was there nothing else? What else was going on in your life?
If you really, really want it, you're really, really going to get it.
Wow. Like,
I think, you know what, Liz? What happened was when I was at my final year at the Tech, I also applied for the Fushini Annual Design Awards. I mean, we're talking 10 years ago. And I got in for that as well because I think you've got to use all opportunities that come your way if you want to really be successful in what you do. So whatever comes your way, if it's a good thing or a bad thing, like, I mean, to grab it Well, I want to say by the wall.
By the heart.
That's what you got to do before it grabs you. So, and then just literally make the best of it. And I think with this competition especially, like, I mean, you kind of feel a little insecure because it is a global competition. Like, I mean, it's from countries all over the world, including Spain and Italy and Thailand and Hong Kong, everywhere. Like, I mean, the United States especially as well. And for a South African designer, I mean, mm-hmm. I really think that was a huge
that
achievement.
That was going in with the
big
horns,
boys, yeah.
No, the horns.
No, for sure.
Let's find a different name. Going in with the legs.
With the legs.
I think it's very bold. And yeah. I want to just put a pause on there because I want to also just pick Leslie's mind as well. What attracted you, Leslie, into getting into the SA Fashion Week Lufthansa competition, which also obviously I'm sure a lot of people got in with hopeful intentions to be able to win it and maybe move ahead. What inspired you to do that?
Growing up in Johannesburg, I knew that South African Fashion Week is the platform you have to associate yourself with if you want to make it big as a designer in South Africa. And when I started my business, it was one of my goals. I needed to get in there with SA Fashion Week, and I saw the opportunity of the Lufthansa competition as my foot in the door, and so I just went for it with all I had to give, and thank goodness I went, which is amazing.
Yeah, so. But you sound like, you know what's so funny? You're like, yeah, I just went in and then I just got there and that was it. And
yeah, it's a lot of hard work.
Like I said, back to attitude, because I'm just saying, like, I'm a person in my life as we sit here, honestly, I'm 38 years old and have never in my whole life gotten to any competition because my dad told me when I was growing up that if you are good and you stand out at what you do, you don't need to compete. Obviously, back to everyone's raised with everything is so different. We are wired so differently. And therefore, it doesn't mean that I'm scared, but I wouldn't get into any competition for anything. So I'm just saying you getting into a competition is, first of all, exposing yourself, putting yourself out there. And that just needs so much more strength and attitude and energy and belief in yourself in such a special way.
It does. But absolutely. At the same time, the reward... So I could have just paid and done a fashion show.
Yeah.
by going in like this, it puts the risk there. Like, yes, if I could fail. But by winning it, I've not only now done SA Fashion Week, but I've got that prestige behind me as well. So
now I want to talk, before I go back to Adrian, what is it? Also, obviously, you win, and then that's the first stage of it. What happened to you at that point? How did your life change? Or how did your fashion business change? Because I'm sure something changed, considering the fact that if you maybe could just first introduce what the package was for the winner, or what they were offering for the winner, and then how that changed your life.
So even just getting into the top five for me, I'd in my mind already won. When going in, I was like, if I can just make it into the top five, because they get a show with Fashion Week. So that for me was amazing. But the actual prize that I won was a trip to Berlin Fashion Week. I attended every show. I traveled with Joanne Strauss and Jackie May from Marie Claire, as well as Annette Pringle of the Fashion Agent. So it was great networking with them as well.
And how long were you there for?
I was there for a week and a half. So I stayed for the fashion shows, and then I did a few days extra for myself as well, because it's such a cool city. And then I also won a really awesome Edgar's voucher, which I think I spent in like 1 hour.
What was the value?
It was an 8,000 rand Edgar's voucher. And
so you just went in and
I just went in and I
called
like,
your four friends
like
and said, everyone
rush.
Fill up your baskets, let's go. Summer and spring and autumn and winter,
yeah,
here we come.
It was awesome, yeah. So Edgar's voucher. But I think the biggest prize of them all is it was the prestige and the elevation of my brand. It just makes people take notice, and you go from being, you know, just this. There's so many brands out there of trying to make it, and it just gives you that prestige behind your name. So that for me is definitely the best prize of all.
So were you like, wow, did your jaw drop when you were announced the winner, or like
it was amazing.
You're so cool. You're just like, yeah, I was announced the winner, then we went to Berlin and then we came home.
It was incredible. So it was actually my birthday the same day, so it was the best birthday present ever. And it was quite overwhelming, to be honest, but it was amazing. And it's just you put in so much work behind the scenes. So to win is just such an honor. So
Leslie, I want to jump back to you. When you won, what happened to you at that point? Were you sweating? Were you like, oh yeah, this is the third time, let's go, three strikes? Or were you just, What happened to you?
You know what? What happened was, okay, so, I mean, I arrived in New York, and then the awards were, like, I mean, 3 days after. So I was a little tired, like, I mean, and absolutely bemused by the city, because it's such an incredible place, as you would know. And so we got to the award ceremony, and there was another South African girl in as well for the same category as I was. Like, and so we met up, and we had a chat and everything. It was a rather glamorous affair. And so we got into the... into the area where they displayed all the bags, and I promise you, I got so insecure. I felt so insecure. I was like, oh my God, everybody else is better than I am. What am I doing here? I just want to go back. Like, this is just silly. I think if you start out, like, I mean, you know, like, all of these insecurities do come and play. So then as we went into the ceremony, like, I mean, we all sat down, and I was like, I'm done with this. I don't want to be here anymore, because that's what I felt like. I felt insecure. And then about, when they called our category, I was like, I don't know, something changed in me. I was like, listen, Adrian, I kind of had this little internal conversation with myself where I said, listen, you've really been putting in absolutely everything and more just to come to this point. And so what Leslie has said as well, like, I mean, to be part of something like this is already a huge achievement. Like, I mean, that is massive. Mm. So when they called my name as the winner, like, I promise you, like, I mean, several thousand things were running through my head, because, like, oh my God, literally each and every dream of mine has come true up until this point. Like, I mean, it's quite fascinating. It's incredible.
Tell me, what did you do different? First of all, you guys haven't, I don't know how, like, I mean, if something happened to me, I'd be like, my nose, I was sweating, I was like shivering, they're like, call me, I started wobbling. What, there was no magic moment of life?
Oh, then the whole experience was a magic moment. Like, I mean, since I got on the plane from here, everything was
met. But the fact that you were the winner of that.
You know what, like, category. I mean, you know what, it's a very interesting experience, because it's several emotions that happens at once. Like, I mean, like, as I said, like, I mean, everything that you've worked for your whole life up until that point literally comes true in like a couple of seconds. And, like, I mean, so when you walk onto the stage and you meet all of these grand people that, like, I mean, hand you the award and everything, like, I mean, you're come incredibly elated, because, like, it's an experience that I've never experienced before. Like, it was amazing. Like, I mean, hearing your name, like, oh my God, yes, me. No, it was amazing.
Tell me, Adrian, what is it now, obviously, when you think about it later? Because it's funny how before the winner is announced, you've got just kind of like, okay, let's go, let's hear. Mm-hmm. And then you get there, then emotions start changing, and then there is the magic moment. Tell me, what is it when you thought about it? Because I'm sure before the winner is announced, maybe that's when you start having flashbacks of, mm-hmm, what did I do? Or maybe while you're walking down the alley and seeing a lot of other bags on display. I don't know what your setup was, mm-hmm, but you start thinking. But then at the same time, like you said, you still had a moment where you kind of felt like, you know what, I've done something phenomenal, and that's, I need to sit here, be focused, and let's go with the next procedure, or let's go with the next proceedings.
Completely.
What did you do differently? Because obviously a moment might have hit you to remind you that there's something special. What was your special touch in your bag? What did you do that made this piece?
You know what? Like, I mean, earlier when you said, like, I mean, what I really liked was, like, I mean, about having an attitude, as in, like, I mean, fashion is not just, it's not just beautiful clothing or beautiful bags. Like, I mean, there is literally so much more that goes into it. So this year, when I applied for the awards, I was like, okay, cool. I really, really want this, because I want to be one of the world's most famous handbag designers. That is, like, what I want to be. I want to be super successful beyond belief, like, I mean, with my God-given talents and everything else. So I'm going to use each and every opportunity, because as we know, opportunities don't really come your way. Like, you've got to go out and look for them. So when I applied this year, I was like, okay, cool. What can I do? So when I submit all of my work, that I know for a fact that I've given my absolute everything. So that's what I've done. So when I got to the awards ceremony, like, I'm traveling to New York and everything, it was my first time there, which was amazing. There's that moment of peace that you have, like, I literally gave it all. Now it's in the hands of God. It's in the hands of other people. It's everything else. Like, I mean, I have done everything up until this point. Mm-hmm. So now it's in somebody else's hands. And you know what? Like, I mean, when that happens, then you know for a fact, yes, I'm great. I'm great, because if other people, like big brands such as Guess, believes in me, mm-hmm, then I know, I think I've got it.
But you should already feel greatness when you're great, right?
Oh, most certainly, yeah. Yes. Most certainly. Like, I think there are levels of greatness when it comes to that, because as you would know, fashion is such a multifaceted industry. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's an attitude, it's a lifestyle. It's, mm-hmm, it's much more than just clothing, mm-hmm, and bags and accessories, mm-hmm, and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, what was your special touch? What would you say would have made you really stand out when it comes? Because obviously something, yeah, really stood out.
I think one of the criteria that they were looking for was a designer that could follow through after winning. So someone who had a business sense and the potential to grow their brand as a fashion business, as opposed to just this up-in-the-air, very creative label. So I've started a concept store in Melville called Convoy, which I share with six other amazingly talented local designers. And I think that that concept that I founded of working together instead of just competing with other designers definitely made me stand out as well. It's one of the...
It's beautiful. Now, you know, as we're having this conversation, I want to roll over to Edgy Benson with his Echoes from New York. Edgy is one of our contributors who runs a fashion services company based in New York and has worked with big fashion houses such as Vera Wang, Chloe, Bill Blass, Kate Spade, stores like Harrods, London, Saks, Colette Paris across the US, Europe, and Africa since 2004. Edgy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Liz. It's nice to join you.
And before you join us sleekly, what are you wearing? You know, he tries to be sleek.
Today, I'm going to be creative again. Maybe not too creative. I'm wearing a skinny jeans as usual, but it's not Diesel. Before you tell me it's Diesel, no, it's not. It's Ari. It's a small Italian brand.
It's a new one.
And... a crochet overcoat. It's cold, or getting cold in New York.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show again. I'm sure you've been in the loop of what we are talking about as we have this conversation with Leslie and Adrian around the morning after the competition before. What are some of your echoes so far as we continue to engage on this?
No, I think I'm really proud. I want to congratulate both Adrian and Leslie. I think it's really huge, especially to be from Africa and to go out there and compete and be noticed, you know?
Thank you. That's a huge compliment.
Notice is everything in the industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what attracts people to you and what creates the curiosity that you need or your brand needs, you know? And I think there's so much innovation. To be honest with you, looking at Adrian's bag, for a minute, I didn't think much of it, but then when you settle down and look at it, there's so much intricacies to it that, you know, you can understand the depth of the thoughts.
We almost had a heart attack in here, but then you finished nice, so we are cool.
No, because I'm just talking about my first reactions.
Yes.
And I'm sure Adrian felt the same way when he looked at the bag and thought, oh my God, everyone seems to have put in so much. No. But I think it's when you look at the depth of the thoughts, you know, the way the lines crisscross, just the positioning of the logo, everything, just that bag is consummately thought of.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much. You know what is interesting? Because when it comes to accessories and bags and those type of things, like, I mean, one thing that I really live by, actually, famous words by Richard Branson, was... you should never kill something to prove that it was alive. And that's exactly what I wanted to do in this bag, was because a brand such as Guess, like, when you buy a bag, like, I mean, you kind of, like, I mean, you will change your outfit, like, I mean, well, 17 times a week or a day. Okay, I'm just kidding. but your bag, you can't change all the time. So it's got to be kind of like a signature piece that, like, I mean, works with your personality, but also, like, I mean, has a function. So it can't be too crazy. It can't have too many things and detail and stuff on it. But when you look at the actual design, like you said, like, I mean, the crisscross with the lines, like, I mean, that reinverts the logo and everything else. Like, there are a lot of small little details that you do pick up when you look at it closely.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really love it.
Thank you.
I just want to, just quickly, while we are on Adrian's bag, this is also your bag, right?
Yeah.
Can you just tell us what are some of your what's your signature twang?
So my signature, should I get the bag?
Yes, maybe get it, but it'd be nice to just hear what it is, because I love that quote. I'm going to steal that too and start using it. You don't have to kill something to prove
quote,
that it was alive.
Okay, cool. Okay, for example, first my brand name is Adrian Furstenberg, which is my name, and then you will see this detail over there. Basically, when I started out, like, I mean, bags, are always the first thing that goes in a bag are always the handles and the lining. So I made sure that I work in something else that basically re-strengthens everything about it. So, well, in the normal other bags, like, I mean, you will see that this detail goes through and that is actually then attached to the handle. So that I make 100% sure that the handles wouldn't go. And that actually became part of the design aesthetic. And then, such as myself, like, I might look like a little bit plain on the outside, but I'm way colorful on the inside. That is exactly what I do in the lining as well. So if you you look at it, like, it's like, it's really, it's a massive amount of color. So it kind of like depicts everything African. It enwraps all of the seasons, everything. And I also make sure that it's some of the best fabric around, because it would not tear. That's my worst. Like, I mean, you're looking for your keys or something, and
it's like, gone under the lining.
So I make sure that that doesn't happen. So, I mean, that's definitely part of my signature, is my bright and colorful lining.
It's beautiful. Mm.
Thanks, my love.
Edgy?
It's so lovely. What were you saying?
I was just saying, you can go ahead. We've also got Leslie in the house as well, who's the South Africa Fashion Week Lufthansa winner.
Yeah, I've looked at her. I mean, I saw what she did too, and you know, all around it's just great to see the recognition of talent. I think Leslie's work is to win the competition. It's not easy. I think it's very competitive, and for her vision to come out and be noticed, it's a beautiful thing. I think there's just so much design depth in the continent. You know, it's just now it's how we go to the next steps, how somebody like Leslie can, you know, monetize this award that she won. You know, monetize the recognition, not just monetize like in a way of making money. I mean, that's good too, but in helping propel others to follow suit, you know, and to not doubt themselves so much, because I think the design language is there. Mm. It's just us articulating it.
I just think, just to add into that, I just think we should be making money. If we're not making money, we should go home. Seriously, because I'm tired. It's like, how long can we just sit and say it's beautiful? Like, it's enough is enough now. So really, I think if any designer out there is out there hustling and like you're like, oh, but it's normally beautiful, it's great. But if you're not making money, like seriously, go take a holiday, go to Mauritius, go change your career. Because it's about time.
If you're not making money, you can't go to Mauritius on holiday.
Well, maybe then talk to your friend or talk to Edgy. I don't know. Or talk to Lufthansa. Maybe we can talk to Leslie to hook up a Lufthansa ticket for someone to go and have a brainstorm session. But you know, for those who are tuned in, this is the Fashion Lab. And this is the lab where we dissect the business behind fashion. We're on here every Thursday, 2 to 3 Central Africa time. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. We'd love to hear, especially if you're in the continent and you complete or you make a part of the fashion value chain, you obviously are part of who we are talking to or who we are talking with. And we'd love to hear your thoughts. We obviously want to grow as an industry. We want to make sure we are developing this baby, and we are no longer just talking about beautiful things, because we already agreed that if there is no money coming, surely Leslie's tired, Adrian's tired, Edgy's tired, I'm tired, everyone's tired, we should then just go to Lufthansa, to Mauritius via Lufthansa. Do they even fly to Lufthansa? So, you know, keep your tweets coming. We're on Fashion Lab AF. Share with us some of your thoughts. I want to just jump back to Adrian. Your expectations when you won. You know how sometimes you sit, when you're behind the fence and you're told you're going to that promised land, sometimes you sit behind the fence and you think, oh, is that where you're going to get like, you know, pineapples falling all over the place and bananas jumping on you? And I don't know, like everyone have their own expectation and draw their own sort of image and what they actually expect. What you expect, what she expects is different. What I expect is different. When you're on the other side of the fence, when you finally won this competition, Adrian, what happened? Were your expectations met up to now? I mean, it's since June. Mm-hmm. Up to now, do you feel like he actually, is it overrated? Is it actually, what was the expectation? If you can give me three highlights since winning the competition when it comes to what you've been able to receive back out of your...
out of the experience over there. You know what, like, I mean, because it's an enormous brand such as Guess, which is global, like, I mean, they are huge. So the thing is, in the fine print, it says that the winning bag might be falling part of their collection. So I've been in communication with...
Did they say might or will?
Might, like, so it's not a definite, because it's all dependent on trends and whatever not else is happening. So the thing is, we are in discussion for it to be introduced into the holiday collection, but it's not confirmed as yet. So I will know sometime early next year if that's going to happen. If that does happen, then I'll be going to either Los Angeles or to their design team in Italy, and then we'll be collabing to make sure that everything happens accordingly. But you know what the beautiful thing was, like, I mean, for reaching that international status to be affiliated with that brand, was what happened in South Africa. I mean, incredible amounts of publicity that I got. Like, I mean, the trust level of me as a designer literally shot up tremendously. So I think my expectations were more than met. Like, I mean, when I meet people who I know or they kind of know my story and how long I've been doing this, it really is amazing to see, because now you're trusted. You are like, I mean, you're like a thought leader in that department. So yeah. And the beauty is, like, I mean, with myself as a human being and as a business person, it's now I can't get complacent. Now I've got to be better than what I was in June. Like, I mean, and that's quite tricky, because you can't ride on this wave forever. Like, I've got to, like, I mean, work on a hell of an amount of new stuff that I'm working towards. So February, there's going to be some really, really exciting stuff happening. So, like, I mean, I'll definitely keep you up to date. I'm not allowed to say this as yet, but I mean, there's some really cool stuff happening. And when it comes to expectations, like, I mean, that's a very, very, very interesting term, because usually, you can get so disappointed when you have expectations. So rather drop all expectations and raise your own values. Because, I mean, if you really value yourself as a designer, as a technician, as a leader in your industry, when you value yourself, like, I mean, your work will automatically become, like, I mean, first class. So that's what I, like, live by, is literally no expectations
that's
and rather focus on your values.
But you're happy. You feel like the experience elevated you to more than or to beyond what you may have even thought. Or just, you know, like...
You know, the beauty of this is, like, I mean, I've put in hard work. Like, I mean, to give you a bit of background as to who I am, like, I mean, I grew up, my dad was a farmer, my mom was an aerostress. So those are two complete different worlds apart. My dad didn't want me to do fashion design. I was like, and I had to fight as a little kid, and I had to fight as a student, as in, like, I mean, how am I going to get into this industry? So when I took this award, it wasn't just great design. It really was, like, I mean, me putting all of my efforts in to make sure that I produce something that is of an international standard and take the award, because that now puts me in the next phase of the next chapter of Adrian's life as a designer. So yeah, I'm pretty excited, a little bit scared about the future. I think we all should be.
Mm-hmm.
have a little bit of fear, because that kind of, like, I mean, keeps you at bay. Mm-hmm. And make sure that you produce your best.
It's beautiful. Now, Leslie, what are you, I mean, does where you are currently smell like where you thought you would be after receiving first prize for that? Because obviously you also gave us some of your experience highlights, but have you ever sat down when you introspect and just thought, could I just, you know, because there's people who genuinely are like, why did I even waste my time? Is this something that you feel has really got so much more value and has really put you in a place beyond, or?
No, for me, it was absolutely worth it and definitely not a waste of time. I mean, like I said, I was just happy getting into the top five and doing a show. As an emerging designer, that's huge. So, but it definitely exceeded my expectations. I met so many incredible people who have helped me in my business. I got incredible marketing out of it. It elevated my brand. And, you know, I'm not just some designer doing the shows. I'm an award-winning designer. So it's, you can't buy. So
she's
no,
like, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Like,
honey, award-winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It is what you make it. Like, you could just go out and be like, oh, well, it's over now. What do I do now? But, you know, if you go out there and you have that behind you and you use that for your benefit, then it's definitely worth it. So,
no, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah. Wow. Edgy, is there any way that, I mean, I know I'm a bit late, but is there any competition kind of that we can come up with so I can also be an award winning? I'm not just a designer.
Publicist of the year. Publicist in a pocket.
Plenty. But, you know, I do have this, like, a really intriguing point from listening to both of them. And I do want to, like, ask them both a question. Like, having been outside, being an award winner, which I'm so proud of you guys.
Thank you.
But how have you found, I mean, how has this affected, you know, how, like, when you're thinking of a collection, you have an inspiration board, you know, like in your mind or on your wall. I mean, like, your experience having won this award and having had, like, an implicit idea of how big you might be yourselves, how has this affected or refined your inspiration board? How are you thinking now?
You go.
Should I go first? Okay, cool. No, thank you for that question. You know what? I mean, because now all of a sudden you're linked to an international name, like such as New York, which is fashion forward. Instantly, the world or people around you, like, I mean, their expectations are enormously high. So the thing is, so you as a designer, mm-hmm. then you've got to adhere to what can I do that first and foremost, like, I mean, levels me as a designer for myself? What do I believe in? What is my aesthetic and what I want to achieve? But then also, like, I mean, your consumer, are you satisfying their needs? So when it comes to the inspiration board, like, I mean, that is, I mean, to me, that is a massive part of my design process, is to literally be as prepared as possible, because fashion changes incredibly quickly on our planet nowadays. So to make sure that I have the latest trends, the latest colors, the latest this, the latest that, but to kind of fine tune it to still not lose my identity. So I think that is, that's what it comes down to for me.
For me, it was that I'm on the right track, that because I won the award, it was just a confirmation that I'm doing the right thing. So it hasn't actually changed my design at all, the way I go about it doing it. It's just given me more confidence that I'm doing the right thing.
But I think also, just to add on to that, is when you went to Lufthansa and went to Fashion Week, did it also maybe just a bit, just a little bit, influence your way of how maybe you process this, or nothing?
No.
Or you just got in, you just,
I think it's just
enjoyed
it's given
it,
me confidence, yeah, so that I'm on the right track. I mean, I'm influenced by so many different things from when it comes to designing, so... Yeah, I wouldn't say it's influenced my design, but it's just given me the confidence to make
to move
it,
forward. Yeah.
Yeah, just to move forward and make it even greater. So, yeah, that's me.
Leslie, where do we see the future for Heart and Heritage?
So, Convoy in Melville is my shop and it's my baby, and I'm hoping to grow that. We want to open more stores, launch online. That's my main outlet for Heart and Heritage. But if I'm really dreaming big, I really want to take it overseas as well. I want to do something international. So.
But there's no limitation. So
there's no
limitations. So it just means that and
the when.
Yes. Yes.
No, you're
and
right.
When.
No.
Wow, I love the language here. I love the attitude. It's such a good vibe here. I feel like, oh my gosh, this is
c'est
so...
incroyable.
Yeah, c'est incroyable, c'est ça. J'adore. J'adore.
I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. Let me flip it back to Adrian. Adrian, where do we see the future of Adrian?
Okay, you know what? Okay, cool. What I told you earlier, next year, February, around that time. Okay, let me backtrack a little. I wanted to launch a collection now in September. But then I've been chatting to agents both in London, Paris, New York, and Hong Kong. And the best thing for me is, like, I've got to produce a product that is of an incredible quality. So the thing is, the sample collection is my process at the moment. Like, I mean, it's really quite an interesting and a bit of a sad, intense procedure. So come February next year, I'm going to produce a small collection, well, with stock, like, I'm being built, like, I mean, on a monthly basis, that I want to, like, I mean, sell via boutiques, both in all of those countries that I've mentioned, as well as online. I think online is the best way for me to go, because you don't have to try on a bag. Like, I mean, it's not as if, like, am I size 32, am I size 34? Like, you can see, like, I mean, what size of the bag is. And, I mean, the marketing and stuff that you can do on a digital platform is massive. So my... my goal is incredibly high. Like, I mean, I really want to, like, go as far as possible, because my thinking behind that is, like, say, for example, even if I get halfway there, it's still hell of a far. So that's basically my thinking behind it.
I love it, guys. You know what I want to do, Edgy, while you're hanging out there with us? I just want to roll over to Morag Stein, who's our internationally accredited beauty consultant and makeup artist, coming to us with her Glam app. So let's just glam up a bit. This is not the glass of red wine, guys. They're looking at me very different. That's just before the wine, because we still have to get glammed up before the wine. So we're just going to plug in roll over to Morag Stein.
Once again, Liz, for the intro. I'm so sorry I couldn't be in studio to join you all today. Let's get straight into it. So the beautiful color of the week, or as known, the lipstick color of the week, I've actually chosen a beautiful gloss for this week. It's from the Essence range of cosmetics. I'm sure most South Africans are very familiar with the brand. And it's actually a German brand that started in Frankfurt, and it's still, you know, manufactured there. And it's the XXL long-lasting lip gloss, and it's a matte lip gloss. I know it sounds crazy to think, because normally, obviously, a gloss is very glossy on the lips. But, you know, this range is really fantastic. It's sort of matte textured on the lips, and it keeps your lips very hydrated, similar to what a normal gloss does. So, yeah, those are really amazing at the moment. You know, with me being on the go all the time, it's often difficult to really put on an amazing lip color you know, touch it up with a lip liner, etc. So these are great to just keep in your handbag. Great if you're running from meeting to meeting or client to client. Really great. And they come in a variety of colors. So the color that I've actually that I'm loving at the moment is number 6, and it's soft nude. And it's almost like a brownish pinky nude. So it's really complimentary on my skin tone. And I know, Liz, that I have actually used it on you before, funnily enough. And it's just a really beautiful, you know, soft, natural lip color. So this week we're going into glam rocks, and of course we know it does. I'm going to go deep into the latest crystal craze. And I also just really want to share sort of a personal experience that I've been going through. So I've been doing some crystal healing and just really getting more in touch with sort of, you know, the healing properties that these stones have. And, you know, it's strange that we often are faced with them. And, you know, they're coming in jewelry now. You often walk in even shops like La Vista, like Swarovski. It is all crystal based. And we often just buy these beautiful stones in jewelry and not realizing what we're actually buying or, you know, what we're actually putting on our bodies. And strangely enough, I've been sort of, you know, doing a bit of research, going on a course, and sort of learning more about the properties of crystals. And listen, whether you believe in it or not, I can tell you now that it really is real. Like, these crystals come from the earth. You know, it's a bit of a spiritual thing as well, but they really do have energies, and they can actually affect how we behave and how, you know, they've used for ancients of years, they've used crystals to cure, you know, headaches, migraines, stomach bugs, aches and pains. They're great for arthritis, those kind of things. So I just want to kind of, you know, go into things like why these glam rocks really do rock on Glam Up today. And, you know, the latest crystal craze. So this is a worldwide crystal craze. And I think it's something that we can all relate to. So there's actually this dance studio in Los Angeles where a lot of celebrities are starting to go for crystal meditation sessions. And basically, you know, each stone offers a person a different experience. So the properties of which dictate the evening's theme, actually, at this event. And it's anything, you know, a stone, if we look at, like, they can develop self-love, transforming negative energies, you know, all these different things. And you'll actually find that, you know, once you start sort of experiencing with these stones and doing a little bit of research, how they can actually heal. So, of course, they're not familiar, you know, and we want to start calling it Holly Weird, because we're seeing a lot of celebrities that are actually using crystals in their jewelry, using more and more crystals on their costume designs, etc. Even designers are starting to really, you know, venture into this. And, you know, it's a really sort of a fresh crop of healers that are starting to generate into this, and designers, collectors, they're really making them stylish. And even though if they're not socially acceptable, either way, there is really great energy going into, you know, making a garment, say, with rose quartz, for instance, which is very popular for a very loving, healing energy that it gives off. And that's actually, if you're buying a garment with these stones on, that's actually the energy that you're portraying out there. So they're really sort of, you know, beneficial in just giving out positive energy or crystalline power, as they say. You know, and I can totally understand when people are like, where did you get this information? Or, you know, how do you know? Obviously, I've been doing a lot of research. I've experienced it myself. My whole apartment is literally covered in crystals and, you know, stones, and I've really felt like sort of the energy that they give off. You know, and it goes as far back as from the Native Americans who sort of used turquoise or the tourmaline stone as a protector aid. And then, of course, the Chinese value jade, which cures everything from blood purification to generating abundance in our lives. And, you know, these stones, there's more than, like, I can't even tell you, like, a million different types of stones, literally. And then they also just sort of, we're going through, like, how do these generate energy, etc. Obviously, they come from the earth. So, you know, they're there millions and millions of years ago. And then how they're sort of getting into the beauty industry is really skilled at capturing the zest of all of this. And the market or the beauty market or industry really taps into these deepest desires. So when a trend starts like this crystal craze, you know, being in cosmetics and that, you also need to sort of follow these trends. So the world has almost rediscovered spiritualism as well, and so have cosmetics. Shops have grown full of chakra sprays, magical language, you know, sort of makeup tutorials. And you're looking at brands like Urban Decay, which is actually bringing out a palette, like an eyeshadow palette, that is actually called, it's called Moonchild. And it really, you know, you think like, where do these names come from? And this is where they actually come from, that, you know, it's all these brands working with healing crystals on a daily basis. And, you know, they've discovered the effectiveness of the energies, and that's why certain things are called after crystals, which is quite, you know, it's really interesting. And there's also Anastasia from Hollywood that's brought out a beautiful eyeshadow range as well. And hers is called like the mystical magic shadow, for instance. And every shadow in the palette actually has a name of a crystal. And the colors are very similar to the actual, you know, the natural stone's resemblance. So it's really quite amazing how, you know, these things are coming into the industry. And also, you know, when we look at Lush Cosmetics, which is, I mean, as you know, it's one of my favorite brands. It's, you know, animal cruelty free, all natural products, and whose word of mouth marketing has really captured the brand of crystal healing and of, you know, all using these stones and that. And they have products sort of like Misty Toasty Bath Melt and, you know, all of these things. And Neom Cosmetics is really involved in, you know, sort of bringing crystal colors in and all of that. So, yeah, I just love to, it's awesome for me to be able to share that, you know, with everyone and what an impact it's making. So there's models like Cara Delevingne, singers like Madonna, who are notorious for wearing crystals or gems around, you know, their necks, around their jewelry and that. So I'm going to be sharing quite a lot of stuff, you know, quite a lot of information on all my social media platforms after the segment or after the show today to really just sort of, you know, I want to share my knowledge and share this amazing thing with everyone. And it's really, you know, it's not only for women. So all the men who are listening, knock, knock, like this is for you as well. Yeah, so you can follow me on all social media platforms at Moragstein. That's MoragSteyn. That's me over and out. Back to my glam rock.
There you go, guys. Anyone using crystals? Thank you, Morag, for the glam up. I just want to see finish the last part of it before now that you're not with us here. But anyone on crystals?
Not really.
We sell them in Convoy. We sell crystal jewelry from Black Betty. She's a Cape Town designer, and she sells rose quartz, moonstone, and she actually, every time you buy a piece from her, it comes with a little card explaining what the power of the stone is.
Oh, nice. So she actually also just informs the consumer, yes, so they're not just buying what they think are cute stones. Cause
yeah,
you know,
precisely.
It's very cool.
It makes good gifts as well, because then if you're buying a stone that kind of reflects the person you want to give it to, it's quite a sweet message.
Like a birthstone. So,
it's very cool.
I was in Madagascar 2 weeks ago, and like Madagascar's got like a whole variety of different stones, like the tourmalines and jades and everything else. And it was quite amazing because we went into one of the little stores, and like, I mean, the woman explained exactly how, like, I mean, how they were mined and everything else. And it's such a beautiful story because they do have, like, I mean, either high or low vibrations, which makes a massive difference, because you will think that it's just an adornment, like, I mean, to look beautiful or whatnot, but it actually does have those healing properties, which I think is it's quite amazing.
Edgy, I didn't see any crystals in your house. Are you using them, or are you okay? Cool. No pressure for us. No pressure.
Stars of the earth.
No pressure for us, Edgy. We'll catch up when we do. I know I'm on Swarovski, but I don't know if it has the same impact as the other stones, but I'm sure we'll catch up with it. I just want to wrap up this beautiful show today. I want to thank you all for your contribution, just for joining us in and just helping us really shed some more light on this. A lot of people say, oh, what's the point of getting into these competitions when, yeah, all they say is this and then they do that. And it's nice when people can actually maybe tune in later also and just join us on this conversation and get to hear your insight, your experiences, and what those competitions or winning the competitions have done for you so far. Edgy, thank you for joining us as well. I want to just quickly, Leslie, how can our listeners connect with you?
You can find me on Instagram, Heart and Heritage, Facebook, Heart and Heritage, Twitter, Heart_Heritage, and you can come find my range at Convoy in Melville, the Bamboo Centre. I also sell through the space in Rosebank and on Zando.
Fantastic. And our lovely Adrienne.
Well, everything like Adrienne Furstenberg, Furstenburg, and you can follow that name on Facebook and Twitter as well as on Instagram. And then I have a website, which is adriennefurstenberg.com, which will be available, we'll have sales online from next year, February, so you can follow me on social media for all of that.
Fantastic, all of you guys heard it. Edgy, do you just want to share where we can follow you on Twitter, at least something?
You can find me on Twitter at Edgy Benson, and the same for Instagram, Edgy Benson. And you can find my company, Enui, at Enui on Facebook.
Okay, fantastic. So now we are going straight to our glass of wine. It's going to be very quick when you're going to talk, but we are starting with Adrienne. Adrienne looks like the guy who wants to start today. Who would you want to dress and why?
Who would I want to dress and why? Oh, mm-hmm. Goodness. Let me just think. Maybe I want to dress myself today.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
Because you guys look like really, really, really cool. I mean, I've got this like little black and white number on.
You still look cool.
Do you like it? It's just me. I was thinking about it. Fashion Lab Africa. Okay, it's on radio, so I don't really have to worry.
We tweeted and we checked out the videos, so don't lie.
I really hope I'm okay. Because just by looking how gorgeous you two girls look, I really want to I want to dress myself.
All right, guys. Edgy, who would you want? No, let's start with Leslie, who would you want to dress and why?
I actually, at the fashion show, I got to dress my mom, who is the most humble, down-to-earth person ever, who couldn't care less about fashion. And I felt like I was doing an extreme makeover. It was amazing. I was so excited. So
you want to dress your mom?
I got to dress my mom, which was really great.
So you want to dress your mom today?
Yes. And also, I think on the last... I did this on the last time I interviewed with you, and it's the same. I want to dress people who feel like they need a boost in their confidence, because my clothes are so wearable on different body shapes. So, someone who doesn't really feel great about themselves, they can put on one of my garments, and I can guarantee it will make them feel beautiful. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's my customer and who I like to dress.
Beautiful. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why?
Well, I want to dress a ton of girls in Leslie's sashed shirts. I think they are really
Yay.
Cool. Yes. And I want it back from Adrian.
Edgy always wants to dress the guests because he can then get products from them.
I'll be in the United States in November again for Thanksgiving, so maybe we can hook up.
I'll make an excuse to come there as well.
That'll be brilliant. Yeah, that'll be amazing.
Okay, so today, I know I've done it before, but it was last year, April, but I want to do it again. So today I want to dress Naomi Campbell, our Sasha Fierce Naomi, because she's my muse. And it's not, I'm not cliche. Your muse and everyone else's muse is never mine. So when I tell you it's my muse, I'm like, seriously, she is. I would love to put her in a Liz O piece and paint the city red or blue, whatever we decide that
she
night.
She made like a star appearance now at Paris Fashion Week, wasn't it? I think she actually came out for one of the shows, which was pretty amazing.
Very cool.
No, I love her. She's amazing.
And girl, black, don't that black no oh, crack. No. That black ain't cracking too. But guys, it's been so beautiful. Hope to our listeners who have tuned in that, you can join us on Twitter and continue the conversations on Fashion Lab AF. We are also on www.fashionlabafrica.com. This is how we do every Thursday. Peace and love. Until next week.
Thank you so much, Lou.
Thank you.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.